Hare Krishna. I'd like to first of all thank our Tamil President Vidyachitana Prabhu for receiving us here. We are from South Africa. We're here for the seminar. We've been all around Europe almost a month. So you'll have the seminar later on after 10. But I'm really honored, privilege that I've been asked to address you this morning on this Bhagavatam verse. Thank you again. So what do we do? You read the verse and devotee also reads the verse? Okay. Extend my vision. Thank you. So this morning Bhagavatam class is from the fifth canto, chapter 2, text 14. And the title for this chapter is The Activities of Maharaj Agnidhara. Yosvatvayat kara saroya hata patango dikshu brahman brahma brahmata eyayate kshinime. Muktam nate smarasi bakra jata varutham. Kasnon nilo harati lampata esa nirvim. We can see that now. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. What meaning? Ya, which? Aso, that. Twaya, by you. Kara saroja, with the lotus palm. Hataha, struck. Patangaha, the ball. Dikshu, in all directions. Brahman, moving. Brahmataha, restless. Ejayate, disturb. Akashini, eyes. Me, of. Of me, sorry. Of me. Muktam, scattered. Na, not. Te, your. Smarasi, are you mindful of. Vakra, curling. Jata, of hair. Varutam, bunches. Kastaha, giving trouble. Anilaha, win. Harati, takes away. Lampataha, like a man attached to women. Esaha, this. Nivim, lower garment. Translated and purported by His Divine Guru Srila Prabhupada. My mind is already restless, and by playing with a ball, moving it all about with your lotus-like palm, you are also agitating my eyes. Your curling black hair is now scattered but you are not attentive to arranging it. Are you not going to arrange it? Like a man attached to women, the most cunning wind is trying to take off your lower garment. Are you not mindful of it? Please repeat after me. My mind is already restless. And by playing with a ball, moving it all about with your lotus-like palm, you are also agitating my eyes. Your curling black hair is now scattered, but you are not attentive to arranging it. Are you not going to arrange it? Like a man attached to women, the most cunning wind is trying to take off your lower garment. Are you not mindful of it? Purport. The girl, Purvachiti, was playing with a ball in her hand, and the ball seemed like nothing but another lotus flower captured by her lotus-like palm. Because of her movements, her hair was loose, and the belt holding her cloth was giving away, as if the cunning wind were trying to make her naked. Yet she paid no attention to arranging her hair or fixing her dress. As Agnidra tried to see the girl's naked body, his eyes were very agitated by her movements. Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakya Chakshu Urminitam Yena Chasmai Shigurave Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shadvaita Garadhar Shiva Sri Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Read the translation again. My mind is already restless, and by playing with the ball, moving it all about with your lotus-like palm, you are also agitating my eyes. Your curling black hair is now scattered, but you are not attentive to arranging it. Are you not going to arrange it? Like a man attached to women, the most cunning wind is trying to take off your lower garment. Are you not mindful of it? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This verse is is following, you know what's happening here. This is the king who had desire to have a wife, and then he goes on doing tapasya to satisfy Brahma, the king. To satisfy Brahma to get a good wife. So it says that although Shiva and Parvati are worshipped like a mother and father of this material world, it is also sometimes seen that some people do worship Brahma for a good wife. So this verse, I would say, is a Varna Ashram being established in a way, very scientific way. Varna Ashram. So, in a very young age, from the very beginning, before we get to Grihas Ashram, it said, because Grihas Ashram is very, it's like running a whole empire. You have children, you expand like that, you have children, wife, and so many things to see to. It's like running the whole empire. Householders would know, those who have children, even one, or speak of having more than one. And it's like really take so much of time. And so to get to Grihas Ashram, If anyone wants to go in Grihastha Ashram voluntarily, so he has to be trained properly. So in the very beginning, even Lord Ram, Lord Krishna, they've been to Gurukuls for training. Not only to go to Grihastha Ashram, but to train as a brahmacharya. So maybe now, sadly, unfortunately, we have to think twice before sending our children to Gurukul. So on that aspect of it, you can cover it later on with Chambakalata. But how it was, that at a very young age, the children were sent to Gurukul, especially the boys, to be trained up and expert guidance of a guru, teacher, spiritual master, properly to handle, because to be born in the material world is already a big chance that we take. One take. To go janma mriti jara vyadi. Birth, disease, always in death. But somehow or other, we came to this material world, we were born, and then janma jayate sudra. We're born in darkness, low class. We may be born in a Brahmin family, but still, he says that we're born in darkness. We have no knowledge about anything. So, because of that, we take shelter of a spiritual master, a guru, or gurukul very, very beginning, before taking shiksha, diksha. Then we go to have shiksha, firstly, to go to gurukul. And there you train, you learn. We had, I don't know, now in ours, maybe some temples are doing it, that we have devotees, brahmacharis, you join a movement, they have regular classes, apart from Bhagavatam class, they have another class during the day, like learning one verse every day. I don't know. But when I joined, it was a must that we have to learn one verse a day. Otherwise, there's no lunch. No lunch. You come to class 2 o'clock, and then you learn a verse. The verse that you're supposed to be doing that time, 2 o'clock, and you have to learn it before you enter the room, the classroom. It was a must. Torture, but must, it was. You have to learn a verse a day. And we were doing it. We were doing it. One verse a day. Keep my eye away. But anyway, we are learning a verse a day. Imagine 4 lines of Sanskrit, and each line has 4 words of Sanskrit plus, you know, like. And then we'll learn a verse a day. It has a good training. Now, but that time when you join the movement, first, you don't get a Sankirtan bag and you go to Sankirtan. I don't know. Later it happened. That's it. You didn't want to join later. And then they join the movement, and the next day they get a Sankirtan bag, and they go Sankirtan. Send paraphernalia, collect money, and then collect enough money, make a plane ticket, go to India. No, no offense, but it was not like that. That time. You join the movement for the training, you train, you wash pot for 3 months, continuously. Clean the temple, sweep the floor, wash the toilet. That was training. It's like, you know, it's like boiling the milk and the cream stays. So purifying, and there was a good training. And then you come to class, prasad, and the time you finish your duty during the day, you're so tired. No time for maya. You just hit the bed and you're working for Mangalati. That was the training that time. That was my time, yes. When we join, no matter how educated one person materially, when you join the movement, you don't know anything. You have to learn from zero, training. Then you surrender. And then you study, learn, do service. So much of service, you know, that your senses get used to it. It's like, compare the senses are like, you know, venomous serpent, snake, you know. It's like want to bite you. And then, so you got to, you know, pull the fangs out during devotional service and get control. And then take your shoes and eat in the head 100 times in the morning and evening 200 times with a broom. And then you hit the mind, you know, control. Man evaya manusyanam karanam bandha moksaya bandhaya visaya sango mukche nirvisaya manaha. So mind can be the cause of bondage, and the same mind can be the cause of liberation. So mind engaged in sense gratification, then it's cause of bondage. Then the mind engaged in devotional service, and then associate devotees, regular sadhana, morning program, chanting, do service, and in this way, senses become controlled, it takes time. Prapya purnam kritam lokam yusidva samaha suchinam simatam gehe yoga brashto vijayate. Some couldn't make it in this lifetime. You know, they tried and tried and couldn't control. Then what happened? Prapya purnam. But the punya that you did, you don't lose, you come back again. And you have to surrender to devotional service. Yoga brashto. And then you couldn't, yoga brashto, you disturb somehow or other. Yoga brashto, you know. You fell down or you slow down or commit offenses, whatever it is. And then you leave your body, you take birth again. But Krishna is not so cruel. He gave you back whatever you have cultivated the previous life. And then you continue from there. But you have to take shelter of devotional service. So you train as a brahmachari. And then this way, voluntarily, then you want to, you decide, okay, I want to move to Grihastha Ashram. And then, but the training part of it is very, very important. That one has a service in a temple. I was talking about Sankirtan. You've been doing Sankirtan. Okay, you, in the beginning, what you clean the temple, clean the service, and then you go and out and preach, and you have books, and you preach, you read the book, you go distribute them, and then so that people ask you a question, you know what you're talking about, and you convince them so easily, and then, you know, this way. But the service aspect of it, now responsible, you know, one of the quality of a devotee is to be responsible. You've been trained as a brahmachari, you was given service. Somehow or other, your parents give you some money and you decide to just leave your service and you go abroad, you travel. You go to India or whatever it is, and then from there you don't come back to your service, you find another mean or sponsor, you go to Europe, you go to Western world, you married and you move out and you work as a bus driver. And then, you know, it's like that's how much you advance in a spiritual life. No, you shouldn't end up like that. You go to Grihastha Ashram, you can do it properly. We've seen that. So what happened? In my time when I joined the movement, although I had money to travel, I couldn't leave my service. I couldn't. I stayed in a temple for 6 years. I couldn't travel. 6 years. I've seen devotees I want to give my own example. I went through it, I've been through it. I said how it is, it was. You couldn't travel. And you have a spiritual master. One of the, you know, concern that you're talking about training, one is, you know, sometimes some devotees join, they don't initiate it. They don't want to take shelter of a spiritual master and get initiated because they have to be corrected and controlled. They don't want to be controlled. You know, you are cheating yourself. You want to be a devotee or you don't want to be a devotee. Yeah? You want to be controlled, trained properly, and somebody chastises sasana. You know, the duty of the spiritual master is to chastise you. Yeah? You don't want to have that. You want to make your own choice of selected, of, you know, who you're going to marry, or if I have a guru, then it's a problem. I'm probably able to choose what I want. I want a beautiful wife. I don't want an ugly wife, or a beautiful husband. I don't want a good looking, you know. So that good looking means you can keep me attached, so entangled that I don't want to leave this material world. And the example of Srila Prabhupada, you know, he, You don't know that? Prabhupada had a choice of who you're going to marry. Then you know the story. That don't doubt his selection of match. So she Radha Gopinath. She Radha Gopinath? No, it's so Srila Prabhupada's, maybe it was not his choice of match, but for a good cause. And Srila Prabhupada himself, he actually, it helped him, you know, to have someone so unwillingly. But anyway, he was married in Grihastha life. And he was maintaining, you know, once you have your Grihastha ashram, you maintain, you don't be a crook and want to run away from it. And then you just elope and you leave and you just renounce. I'm renouncing, you know, I become... renounce, leave everything, leave my children and wife, and just run away from my responsibilities. No, so before coming to that, I was talking about the service that we take a service when we join. When we join the movement, we didn't want to become a temple president or become a pujari. We want to serve. We want to serve the devotee. We see the devotee's simplicity and a dedication. We say, no, I want to serve the devotees. I want to just one by one. But later on, after what happened, you want to become president, you want to become vice president, you want to, you know, you take it as a response, you know, service, fine. But you didn't plan, you don't want to become a leader, you want to become a servant. But you give any responsibility, you do it, you lead others, then you get trained first, lead others. But we come to this, talking about the service, you know, what to do. I want to serve, I want to move from one yatra to another, as a brahmachari, you've been trained. So what I do? So you ask for permission from your authority. Temple president. You ask, you know, I want to travel. I want to go to VIHA course. I want to go for training. Take some course. I want to travel holy places. I want to, you know, to get more inspired. I want to go holy places and meet devotees. And this way I become more enthusiastic. And, you know, more attached, more... surrendered more, you know. Know the value of the spiritual life that I am. How much I'm so fortunate to be. Then you ask for permission from your authorities, the president. Then sometimes you need a written permission. A letter that you're moving from one yatra to another. Then you give it to the general president. Nowadays, even more. Now we're trying to do it even better. You move from one center to another, you need a clearance. You need a police clearance before, right? You know, you get a visa or something to move another place, you need police clearance. We also, now we have established a method that you need a clearance from the temple that you are a devotee, good devotee, you know, serving nice and no criminal record or whatever it is. And then you're moving to the latter, and the president get a letter, or latest is like, you know, blog or email, whatever it is received by the other temple, and see your devotee is clear, you know, fine. We have to do that now. It's like, and to help us, to help others, to help every devotee, everybody around us, to who we are associating with. Anyway, as devotees, everybody is a devotee. Whoever chant Hare Krishna, somebody shut me out. Okay. Whoever chanted Hare Krishna is a devotee, you know. The famous, I was thinking, Rida Chaitanya Prabhu, I was telling you a nice pastime, but I won't go there. But just a good example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pastime when he was in Jagannath Puri. And then devotees from Bengal every year will go visit him, you know. And then, that's chanting Hare Krishna. And there was one question asked every year. Sivananda Sen will ask a question. Who is a devotee? Who is a devotee? Then Mahaprabhu said, one who chants Hare Krishna is a devotee. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. He's a devotee. He's chanting Hare Krishna. And the second year, the same question was asked Mahaprabhu. Who is a devotee? Who is a devotee? He said, one who chants Hare Krishna all the time. Same question, same answer, differently. One who chants Hare Krishna all the time is a devotee. And then the third year, the same question was asked and said, who is a devotee? Who is it? He said, one who chants Hare Krishna and make others chant Hare Krishna is the topmost devotee. Yeah. Yeah. answers, same question, answer, you know, a little bit differently, but, you know, chanting Hare Krishna is so important, that he's a devotee. One is chant Hare Krishna all the time, and his presence only make other chant Hare Krishna, he's a most advanced devotee. Yeah. I don't know, it seems that we need weeks to speak about this verse, but this is part of the brahmachari, with the ashram. So, Varna ashram, you know, the Varnas in the ashram, so the Varnas, the Kshatriya and you see the king sometime they accept a wife, they accept more than one wife. Not for sense gratification all the time, but because it says when a good brahmachari make a good grihastha, right? After training, you decide voluntarily you want to accept a wife, and then to help each other, no competition, and then just to help each other to advance in spiritual life. And then I was saying the king may accept more than one wife, but Srila Prabhupada, one devotee approached Srila Prabhupada, said, Srila Prabhupada, I want to accept a second wife. Then Srila Prabhupada would say, we want to reduce sex life and you want to increase it. So, we got a message that we want to decrease, but you want to increase it. So, Prabhupada never approved that. So, this way, so one from brahmacharya go to Grihastha ashram, accept a wife voluntarily, for better for worse, you say, you know. So, you accept a wife and then you help each other, you have children in Krishna consciousness, then you take responsibility, make sure you are liberated, and in this way you can liberate your children. Then, for example, at the age of 25, from the Gurukul, you get trained, you want to accept a wife at the age of 25, whatever, and then you spend another 25, fair enough, in household life, or just little bit over, and then you don't forget your goal is to attain the abode of Supreme Abode, and then you dedicate your life, and then you go to Vanaprastha, sannyas, and then you also can get liberated even as a grihastha. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was, you know, so busy, but he was so dedicated. So training, be a grihastha, and then you become a jitendra. A jitendra is, jit means to win, to conquer. Jitendra, indriya, jitendriya. You become a conqueror, controller of your senses still. And then grihastha ashram, there's so much of sense gratification. You know, you close the iron on time, you get nice prasadam, cook, you know, home cooking and all that. So much of sense gratification. I don't know, vice versa, sometimes the men have to cook. So much of sense gratification. Then from brahmacharya, then you take Grihastha ashram, and then, but what happened? One who laments, you know, a brahmacharya who laments, a grihastha will still lament. Brahmacharya want to become a grihastha, the grass is green the other side. The brahmacharya will want to take a grihastha ashram, lament, you know, want to. And then when you take a grihastha ashram, and then what happened? You still lament. Not all the time, but you know, it says, Srila Prabhupada said, you still lament. Then, because you have taken Grihastha ashram, you do it properly, then you got to provide. There should be, you have to have money, provide for your children, wife, and then take care of them. And then it says also that you become like a small Iswara. You become an Iswara, a controller. Then if you were so entangled in Grihastha ashram, you want to control, you think you're providing, And then the children must listen to you, the wife must listen to you. But if you get a little bit, carried away, then what happened? You think, this is my world. My family, my wife, my children. Yeah? Then you become entangled. So, but a service, the only thing can help one is your service. My instructions were given to me when I moved into Kriya Ashram. Yeah? So I have my instruction given to me. I have to do namhatas and do deity service. There were two services given to me. Yeah? And then I'm doing it till now. That was 1984. Yeah? So I'm still doing it. So why? For my own good, for my own benefit, for my own spiritual life. I'm doing it. You can have your duties at home as a Kriyastha, you stay at home. And then you do your service. You can't say, I'm busy doing duty service, I've got my children, I'm carrying on with my spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada will ask, that's for yourself. That's for yourself. But what's your contribution? What's your contribution to society? Service. You have to contribute to society. Okay, we don't have, maybe no Lakshmi, don't have, but you have to contribute. Okay, you run your own empire, your own household, but you have to contribute to the society. Do some service, make some time, do some sankirtan, distribute books, do something that you expand the movement to at least help. Give your association to devotees, take association then. Like that. Otherwise, it says, then you have children, you have children who are like, what kind of children are you going to have? You send them to school. Prabhupada says, you send them to slaughterhouse. You train them, and you go to school, learn all those other, get influenced by the children. Then somehow or other, putra, putra, the word putra means one who can liberate, boom, and from hell. Putra, you get a son. You give birth to him, you have a son, and then he's supposed to liberate you. Then what happened? And he becomes a demoniac, like Kamsa, It say Kamsa, he became demoniac. Yeah? He locked his father in a prison, and he became the king. And he's not a putra anymore, he's called a mutra. mutra? Means the son who is made out of urine of the father. A bit harsh, but it's a waste, It's the waste. It's made out of the waste. So the good children, have to become a putra, liberate. And a great story. I want to end. I've got another 5 minutes, but I have want to make so many points. But anyway, I'll end it with a story. There's a story. A Grihastha. His name was Chandidas. Chandidas. The word Chandidas tells you so many things. Chandi means chanda, money. But his name was given Chandidas. Chandidas worked hard, from the very beginning. And he got married, and he worked very hard. And he collected so much of money. For who? For his family, But somehow he get old, His parents get old; they get older. So nowadays, you get old, you're unwanted, put in the homes. So get old. So he had 4 sons. So he said, he's going to give all his wealth to one of them, whoever, or all of them, or whoever served the parents, mother and father, the best at this age, the old age. He want to give all his wealth. He said, I've got a lot of wealth. Call the children and tell them, I got so much of wealth, but I will give it to someone who served take care of us. We're going to give it. So fine. So the children, they went in a room and they had a meeting. They had a meeting among themselves. He said, okay, let's make a plan, you know. So they made a plan. So they came back to the room and the mother and father was there, and the father was lying down, not so well. And then they came. They said, okay, you know, mom and dad, or Peter and Martha, you know, we want to take care of you, you know. We want to, you know, we want to take care of you. So, and he said, okay, the best thing you should do now is you got to go to the holy places. You know, go to the holy places. Visit the holy places and make advancement and prepare yourself to go back to Godhead. And he said, so the father turned to the mother, you see, it works. You use his technique of, you know, he says, is it really working? The children are so good, you know. They're thinking of us, you know, to make advancement in spiritual life. So they said, okay, you don't have to go to South India. You don't have to go, the children said. You don't have to go. Because it was in Bengal that time. So they say, you can go to Navadvip. You know, all the holy places are manifested there. Go there and then have a pilgrimage there. And then we take care of the house, don't worry, you know. So they said, okay, we also arrange for you, for your Vaishnavi, you know, Vaishnavi, Mataji, to take you around and show you the places and like a guide, you know. So that way, so they left at once for Navadvip, and the children stayed. Okay, then they got together. He said, okay, the money must be around here, nowhere else. So what they're doing? They're going to find the money. They're going to find the money. The plot was to find the money and share it equally among themselves. So why one must get all the wealth when we can share it among four of us? So they share. They look for the money everywhere. Mattress under the mattress, wherever. Everywhere, underground, they checked. And they found the whole, you know, treasure, you know, all the, you know, that was the whole, his whole lifetime he'd been, you know, he'd been saving, and then they got the money and they shared it. And then what happened? Then they sent a message to the family, to the parents, we don't want you back. We don't want you back. Chandidas, he saved a lot of money. How? He was working hard. He never used to contribute anything. He used to save. Whenever you see devotees coming on the left hand side, what are you driving on the right hand side here? Okay. When you go in the right hand side, in Sasabika, you're driving on the left hand side. You go in the right hand side, you're walking. When you see devotees coming, he go to his left hand side. So he used to avoid devotees. And then, you know, meeting devotees means buy a book, you know, give a donation, you know, all that. So he used to avoid, he used to save so much of money. So he saved like that. But what happened? He lost everything. And the message was sent to him that they don't want them back. If they ever come, they will be killed. It says, that's what, unfortunately, you know, it is said in Bhagavatam, when the children and a wife and family, they turn into jackals. They pull the flesh out of you. Unfortunately. So Chandidas couldn't come back. So what happened? Then he started from scratch. He had to survive, so he made a hut, you know, like a shack, you know, like that. And he started a small shop and started making some deal there. You been to Navadvip? Well, how many of you been to Navadvip, Tom? Navadvip. You seen those gift shops, you know? In Navadvip, small gift shop next to each other. So he made one like that. So he started from scratch. Then what happened? And he had a regret that actually he never took shelter of devotional service and association of devotees. He never trained his children properly to be devotees, to respect and to serve. You know, like Ram would serve his father. like that. He was well trained. Also God, but he was given good example. It is said Ram is an ideal grihastha and a king and an ideal son. So the Chanidas, he regret, you know. Then he took shelter of a devotee called Nityananda. And Nityananda Das, not Nityananda, Goranitai. And then he took shelter of that devotee. And that devotee helped him spiritually. And he advanced in spiritual life. And Chanidas became a writer, an author. And he wrote books about spiritual life, devotional service. All his realization that he had. So he wrote books, many books. He wrote many books. And that way he left his body and he attained perfection. Abode of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. So, if you have any comments or question, and I apologize if I say something to offend anyone. Hare Krishna. Right. It is said that all the girls must get married, but the boys must not get married. How is it going to work out? I don't know. It is said the boys mustn't get married, but all the girls must get married. But Krishna will make some arrangement, and then that you have a suitable husband, and then so. But Grihastha asked, in fact, our ISKCON society, no offense to the brahmacharis, we've seen that our Grihastha devotees are very fixed in their devotional service. Very advanced, very, you know, you have, I guess, they learn over the years and they take Grihastha ashram and they're very fixed. I've seen many devotees over the years that we can learn from them. But I'm not saying the brahmacharis should take a grihastha ashram, follow the examples and take a grihastha ashram. You can hop over and you can you can jump and skip that and then you can and go to the next ashram. Did I answer the question? That's one part of it, Yeah. All right, so I guess in our Bhagavatam class we can't elaborate too much on that Grihastha ashram. Maybe we can have another talk regarding that aspect of it. And if it's good to, we make some arrangement to train those devotees who actually, reveal their mind that they want to get married and probably give them a proper training and what you expect. So, yeah. So I don't know. Myself, I was in the temple for 10 years as a brahmachari. When I joined, you know, I practically never thought I would get married. it was like a shocker. So, but here you are. But I'm married. I'm married for 18 years. I don't look like, but anyway. But I'm married for 18 years. I joined very early age, but I joined very early. So I didn't. But what happened? I thought, no. When I got married, I asked Maharaj, you know, my Guru Maharaj, what should I do? What should I do? When I just thought of getting married, I didn't want to wear saffron anymore. The same, you know, very moment, days, whatever it is, I thought I would just give up. I must give up my saffron. It's so offensive. I just have to give it up. So when I spoke to my spiritual master, in fact, sorry, my guru is Bhakti Charaswami, and my name is Sakshi Gopal Das. Originally from Mauritius, but I'm spending most of the years in South Africa now. And then I was in the temple, and then I said no. I approached my guru and said, I don't know. I never prepared for. I'm not ready for it. I just thought of it. I saw someone was no other than Champakalata. But you know, I want to change my ashram. And then Maharaj said, "Are you sure? Are you sure?" Even an astrologer predicted, you know, I can be a brahmachari the rest of my life. I don't know. I didn't go looking for an astrologer, but a devotee actually came to me and told me, you know what, I want to check, I want to see. I don't like to do that. And at that time, it just happened. He said, no, you can be a brahmachari the rest of your life. But it's, here we are. After 10 years, I moved, I became a Grihastha. Anyway, I'm trying to be a good Grihastha. But then I said, Maharaj, I don't know. I don't even have a white dhoti. I only have saffron. Saffron. And I'm doing deity service. Come on. I said, Maharaj said, okay, never mind. You take your time, make your clothes. Get your white. But anyway, you don't have to change. Change when you get married, after you get married, whatever. I said, but Guru Maharaj, I want to change it now. He says, up to you. It's up to you. You can change it now, or you want to get married, it's up to you. Now what happened now is, shocker to me. We didn't have training. We didn't have how to become a Grihastha, what should do. But I guess, in the 10 years that I was in the temple, you know, learning a verse a day, doing service, I was a temple commander, pujari, bhakti program leader, devotee prasadam, life membership. I had no time to think to accept a wife at that time. I didn't have time. I was too busy. I was like, just I was saying, you're so tired, and the time comes, you just hit the bed. And you wake up, it's Mangalati, you know. And then you didn't need a clock. You take a glass of warm water, and then you wake up exactly 3:30 in the morning. That's the alarm clock. So anyway, I was using. We didn't have. We had alarm clock. I was not even using it. So I would wake up that time, 3:30. I would just wake up. And then what happened? I guess that training that I had in my service that helped me. To handle the situation. Then what happened? I was in Mauritius, and then Champakalata was in South Africa. But I was thinking to get married. I didn't have a white dhoti. That I was wearing a white dhoti and a saffron kurta. And then one day I was wearing a saffron because you need to be clean. To go on the altar, I didn't have a white dhoti. The next day I will have a white, I need to wash it. Then I'll wear a saffron the next day again. I'll go on the altar. What happened? you're a brahmachari or you want to be a grihastha. It was like so confusing. But anyway, it's like I was too busy in my service to think about whether I must wear saffron or I want to wear white. My service was more important to me. So then, anyway, the story, you should stop now, but the story goes on and on and on, and then Chamakata will get a, you know, she will get a phone call that she, actually Sakshi Gopal is not wearing white, he's wearing saffron sometimes he's wearing white, and, you know, so like, you know, so what happened, are we going to get married or are we not going to get married, you know, one day saffron, one day white, one day saffron, one, it was just carrying on like that, I said, okay, fine, you know, it was so hard, you know, I mean, saffron dhoti and white chadar, you know, and going to altar. But I think the training is most important that one has, the training, you have a good, Maharaji, you made a very good point, that, but that temple must make provision for that, that you should have something separate for grihastha and aspiring grihastha, whatever, and then, you know, and probably after the training you will change their mind, you say, well, I don't know, just, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.